Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here on this brisk, cool Baptist Men's Day. It's so good to be at church after 2 weeks of snow, so thank you for braving the cold and being here. If you are visiting with us this morning, we'd invite you to pick up a visitor's card. You'll find the pew rack in front of you. Fill it out and put it in the offering plate when it is passed around later on in the service. And just by way of announcements, just a couple of announcements. Our 2022 directories are printed and in the vestibule, so pick you a new directory up when you leave today. And then also, if you haven't picked up your offering envelopes for this year, they're out there as well. And just a reminder, if you don't want to write a check and do an envelope every week, you can go online and give online conveniently, and also set that up as a recurring giving, so that's for your convenience. At this time, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we're just so honored to be in your house today, Lord, to celebrate Baptist Men's Day. We just pray, Father God, that you would fill your house with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and just open our eyes and our ears, Lord, for the message that you've laid on Tabby's heart. We thank you for his obedience to step forward and bring our Baptist Day message this morning. Continue to lead us and guide us as we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rise together, go ahead and sing. We're going to sing He Is Here.
It is truly an honor and a privilege for me to be able to introduce our 2022 Baptist Man of the Year. Our recipient, along with his delightful wife, joined our fellowship here at Tremway Baptist back in 2005 after they found their church home and church family. Our recipient is a devout man of God who truly believes in the power of prayer and loves Southern gospel music. He has served numerous terms on the Deacon Board, Nominating Committee, and on the Pastor Search Committee. He was born in Gallipolis, Ohio, and raised in a Christian home with his three younger sisters. He accepted Christ as his Savior at the age of 11 and was baptized at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Marion, Ohio. At the age of 15, He obtained his first amateur radio license using Morse code. He is still an active member and talks to numerous ham radio buddies every day all over the U.S. and other parts of the world. In the 1960s, he was a charter member of Grace Baptist Church in Marion, Ohio. In the early 1960s, his late father-in-law, the Dr. Marvin Clark, preached at Grace Baptist Church one Sunday and invited him to lunch at the family home. The entire Clark family was there, except for Dr. Clark's daughter, who our Baptist Man of the Year later met wearing a fur coat in the parking lot of a local funeral home. In March of 1965, the couple married some 8 months later on November 27, 1965. From 1970 to 1975, our recipient assisted his father-in-law in producing a weekly half-hour radio program called The Old Country Church, sponsored by West Owen Independent Baptist Church. Our Baptist Man of the Year has two children a son, Matt, and a daughter, Nikki, both of who graduated from Campbell University. In 1996, he gained a son-in-law, Jamie Smith. Our Baptist Man of the Year recipient is truly a testament of the miraculous healing power of God. He was diagnosed with cancer in November of 1980 and had several treatments of radiation. Prayers from several congregations were answered, and our Baptist Man of the Year has been cancer-free for 40-plus years. Praise the Lord. Our Baptist Man of the Year spent his professional career of 30 years between two civil engineering companies and then went on to work for the City of Marion as an engineer for an additional 10 years before retiring in 2005. In 2001, our Baptist Man of the Year and his wife purchased their home in Sanford but didn't actually move from Ohio until 2005 when they both retired from their jobs. 2 years later, in 2007, our recipient began driving a Colts van and sharing his testimony with everyone who rode his van. He retired from Colts in 2020 following the onset of the COVID pandemic. In case you haven't figured out who our well-deserved Baptist Man of the Year recipient is, his wife is often referred to as a hoot to be around, and she will be the first to tell you regarding the Ladies Coastal Retreat, what happens at Castle stays at Castle. Please join me in congratulating Tramway Baptist Church's 2022 Baptist Man of the Year, Mr. Don Roush. And the Baptist Man of the Year plaque will be hung back up in the history room with his name on it. Oh, and I forgot to say, him and his wife are instrumental at the harvest sale, making sure the roll goes on the plate and it gets in a plastic bag.
I want to thank each one of you for this award, for each one of you being here today. You are my family. Marvely and I just love this church, our pastor Jacob and everybody involved here. And God has really blessed us, and he supplied every need that we have and didn't know we needed. And all I ask is that everybody be true to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and support our local ministry here and our pastor. And may we continue to go and forward and bless our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
pray. Please take this offering and do your will. Please take everyone in here and let your light shine through them. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I'd like to say, Don, thank you for being the man you are. Didn't know I'd get choked up before I got started, but anyway, I knew some months ago or last year when we were interviewing Jacob that he was going to push us outside of our comfort zone. So it wasn't that I wasn't expecting to be asked to do something such as this at some point. Just didn't know it would be right now, but God blessed me with three snow weekends or previous weekends to get ready for this, and I really do appreciate it. Sorry, y'all had to sit at home and wait. But one of the things I'd like you to do, if you take a moment, I'm not going to start the slides yet. I got a little more, but our verses today are coming from 2 Peter 1 and 1 through 11, if you'd like to turn to that. Now, Peter, he needs a little history because I learned things just in this study that I needed to know. He was, and oh, by the way, I was cautioned that too much history will make you guys drowsy and cause issues, and I'm going to try to keep that to a minimum. I do enjoy history. And I have to, you know, give it out in teaspoons to the family because sometimes it wears them down. But Peter and his brothers were fishermen. Most of us know that. And they had one thing I found is that they had a successful business as fishermen, and they gave that up to follow Jesus as well. And when a person loves fishing, they usually love it a lot. And I feel that Peter did. I feel that it was ingrained in him as part of his life. It's much like people who love carpentry or mechanical things or cars or whatever it is. They love it. It's part of them. As you'll notice in the Bible and many other places, the fact that they were fishermen comes out. And even Jesus took part. If you think of the time that he had came to them in the morning and they were having a bad day, they hadn't caught anything all night, and he said, I've cast your net on the other side. And they filled the boat up. So Jesus took part in all this too. He was introduced to Jesus by his brother Andrew, who was his partner in fishing. I feel Peter needed to go fishing sometimes, and that's a part of him, just as the things that we men do, they're important to us. Now I know it'll make you feel a little bit better that I say these things, that it's okay to have those things in your life. And it's also important that we keep in mind that we have other obligations to God, to our families. Our children need to know that we love them and we care for them and we'll bring them up in a Christian home. Should you not do that, they know. And there is a price that you'll pay at some point in time. It hurts, and there'll be much to go through. Our wives, we need them to respect us, so we need to live that way. We need to treat them with love and respect. Now, at this point in the sermon, when we were going over it and I was talking with Peggy, she suggested that I say, treat them like a princess and give them everything they want. I think that's a great idea. But now let's migrate back to Peter. I found that he was married, and I really overlooked that in all my years in the studying the Bible, and that his wife did travel with him on missionary journeys. And one difficult fact is she even preceded him in death as a Christian martyr. I saw this in two different places that I looked, and I didn't know that, but these are coming from people who had studied beyond what I know or I knew. So it sure sounds to me like Peter, he suffered for his faith. Peter made mistakes. He failed Jesus. He denied him 3 times. And when he denied him and a servant girl recognized him, he knew what he had done. He also previously had cut the ear off of a guard in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus corrected that wrong. And he used it as a lesson. I can only imagine what the guard must have thought about that when first his ear was removed and then it was put back on with love from Jesus. So there's things out there that we need to know. It seems to me through what I've studied is that Peter must have had quite an aggressive or sometimes hot-tempered personality. He wouldn't believe that he could fail in any way. He didn't believe that he would fail Jesus and deny him, but he did. So Peter was not perfect. He had his struggles and weaknesses, just as all the other disciples did. Now, does Peter remind you of anyone? Perhaps me or yourself or even the best person you know? Because we all have issues of our very own or struggles and failures. Now, we need to move towards the scripture of today. And if I can operate this equipment correctly, you should see a brand new scripture up there. I'm going to read from my Bible rather than crane my neck around and try to catch it. Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now in this first verse, Peter's telling us that he is a servant. He's placing himself below Jesus intentionally. This is not an uncommon thing in the beginning of statements that were written in that time to make something that tells you who they were or what they were. And it also says that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, an apostle, I looked it up because I wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about. So I looked in the dictionary of Oxford Languages. And it said that it includes each of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ and any important teacher like St. Paul. So he was a teacher, and he carried that out to share with other people throughout his life. Now, let me do this one more time. Verse 2, grace and peace be with you in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. In this, he lets us know that he's speaking to like-minded people. That would be people like ourselves many of us have asked God into our lives, and we're interested in what he knows and what he wants to share with us. So we got to keep in mind that at this time, it's about 60 to 64 A.D. So this is after the death of Jesus. And it wasn't a good time for Christians. In fact, it was harsh. Nero was the leader at that time, and he was a terrible leader in everything I've heard. Many Christians died in his Colosseums, and it was like a sport to him. For us, it's hard to imagine what it was like. We currently live in a country that has had only one organized and outstanding event that we can remember in our country, and that would have been 9/11. And this is now 21 years, roughly past that. Many of our soldiers, though, they faced much more since then, and their families. And they've insulated us from all this fear and these things that go on. We've had some things that have happened locally and some things that'll happen, you know, through time, but nothing on the scale and fear that was driven into the people at that time. The closest I can come to understanding what Jesus did for us in allowing us to have some peace in things is when we've lost a close family member. And we get peace from knowing that that person is resting in the arms of Jesus. That helps us out. And at that, I need to move forward once again and read verse 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for glory, life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, God's given us everything. Our Bibles contain the information we need. But to me, this is where it starts when we've asked God into our life. We have gotten the very beginning of it. In order for us to do this, we have to choose or elect to serve God first and live the life and confirm it through our actions. Now, the actions, if we stop there, we're pretty good, right? Well, the next three verses give us more instruction. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Well, this morning in our lesson, Larry brought out one of the points that before Jesus died, He spoke to the disciples, the 11 that were left, and asked them to look after one another, basically to care about each other in love. And it helped them through the next portion of what was coming ahead for them. And I didn't think about that before, but I think it should have been added. One of the points that I think is important for us to consider, and I'm not going to go over all of these in detail because that could be something that would carry us for probably till this afternoon late, but we don't want fried chicken to get cold. But self-control, if you look in the King James Version, is said to be temperance. Now, temperance, as we know, as usually applying to use of alcohol. Now, some people say none, some people say little. The Bible says be of little use of wine. But I think in our time, it's even grown something even bigger. We have to deal with things and drugs and addictions to two things that may or may not have existed in Jesus' time or in the disciples' time. So we have to be involved with self-control. We have to instill that in our children, because if we don't, there's a terrible price to pay. Now, along with losing my place, I'm going to try to pick this back up. We've read those verses. And the first thing I said is, oh man, is that all I got to do? Or do I have to do all that too? No, you don't have to do all those things. But if you do, you're cutting your Christian experience short. And we have to do our part in our spiritual growth to proceed and change the way we think and act. We will need new thoughts and behavior patterns to move forward and receive all that Christ has to offer. So we don't want to cut ourselves short. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sum that up. Well, that pretty well tells it to us, but if you develop these qualities in your life, you can grow and understand even more, which will make you both effective and productive. Now, here's the flip side to verse 8. If you don't do these things from verses 5 through 8, well, let's read verse 9. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So if you don't do these things at some point, maybe not immediately, at some point you will forget your election to be saved and you will lose the faith in the forgiveness that God has given you. Christ has cleansed you of your past sins and you don't need to carry them with you like a puppy on a leash and then let it grow into a Great Dane and take over your life. Now, if any of you have ever had a Great Dane, and some of you have, they're big. Sin grows from that proportion of a small to a large. It can take over your life again, and we need to avoid that. We need to study these things and make these improvements from verse 5 to 8 so that we grow with Christ rather than let something that God has already taken away from us come back and, so to speak, bite us again. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Well, that's pretty well sums it up too. If you do these things at some point, well, when you try to do these things, you will succeed to whatever degree you're capable of. The only way to guarantee that you fail is to not try. So I caution you to try. And the last verse, and you will receive the rich welcoming into the eternal kingdom of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one that needs to be satisfied here, and this is from what I feel and I got from this. And he requires that we only make every effort we can. That means we try with all of our heart. Men, we face temptations at an extreme and escalating rate, along with all those that are around us. No secular media outlet is concerned with our salvation or that of our family. And very few businesses are concerned that we are making good financial decisions for our family. We have to be good stewards, using God's principles in order to be leaders that God intended. And if we don't, we have no right to be offended if our wives don't respect our decisions or our children know that they will know if we're serving anything other than God. I have a quote that I've got from my Bible, but it was from Richard C. Halverson. Probably never heard of him, but he was a U.S. Senate chaplain and lived from 1913 to 1995. A man can never be deceived the same after he's hearing God's truth spoken in the power of God's Holy Spirit. He will either obey and go forward or ignore and die a little. In closing, Peter was just a man. He was chosen by Jesus, but he also chose to follow Jesus. In doing so, he, along with the other disciples, changed the world that we live in today. Perhaps you could make a decision today and follow Jesus or improve your walk with God. If you do it, it is guaranteed to change your life and the life of the world around us and that we all live in. Thank you.
At this time, we're going to have an invitational hymn, and if the word this morning has spoken to you, you're free to come and pray at the altar, or if you're looking for a church home that will help you grow in your faith and help you confirm the calling like Tabby talked about this morning, I'd love to talk with you. Or if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet, I'd love to talk with you about that too.